بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. At the end of Surah Furqan, Allah Ta'ala gives a description of the Ibadur Rahman. We do make the dua, وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ تَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ وَأَلْحِقْنَا بِالصَّالِحِينَ. O Allah, let us die in the state of Islam. So, when a Nabi is making this dua, then is there any doubt about the Islam of the Nabi? There's obviously no doubt. There's no doubt about the Nabi having committed any sin. So, how can there be any doubt about a Nabi being in Islam? But when a Nabi makes this dua, and he is commanded aslim, right? Literally it will mean accept Islam. So what will it mean? How do you explain that? So in short, the Nabi is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him with the highest level of submission. One is submission in principle, accepted Allah ta'ala, أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَكِتَابِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِ وَشَرِّهِ. That's submission in principle. But total submission, absolute, ultimate. So that is something different. It's not just plain submission, but it's an ultimate submission. So this is what the Nabi is asking for, that ultimate. I am pleased with every decree of yours, every decision of yours pertaining to my personal life, my deen, my physical self, my well-being, my children, whatever you decide. And I don't only submit, I don't only agree, but I totally submit. So these are the du'as of a Nabi, right? Tawaffani muslimo wa'alhiqni bisalihin. And join me up to the righteous. The submission, and join me up to the righteous. Now joining up with the righteous, both in both worlds, this world and the next world. As Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullah alayhi was asked once that if you were given a choice to make a dua, what dua you would have made? That to join up with the righteous, to be blessed joining up with the righteous. So if someone is joined up with the righteous in this world, then he can't be wrong. He can't be totally wrong. He may make a mistake here and there, but he can't go wrong. If his heart and his mind is joined up, linked up with the righteous, then he will behave like them, he will do like them, his whole life will be straightened and corrected. His ilm will be right, his amal will be right, his understanding will be right, his inclinations will be right. Why? Because he is with the right, and he wants to be with the right. So when he wants to be with the right, then everything will be right. And in the meanwhile, when you are making dua, joining up in the ranks of the righteous, you are showing your humility as well. I don't want to be something exclusive. Ana min al-Muslimin, I'm amongst them. I want to be amongst them. And I want to be linked up with them. So what you are saying actually, that you aren't righteous, but you want to be linked up with them. So that is an indication of humility, which Allah Pak likes. Rather than you showing, you know, I am an exclusive entity, I am something different, they are different. Allah Pak doesn't like that. This humility and feeling of being a non-entity and being just joined up, Allah Pak, with your blessing, just join me up. So you will join up if you aren't. If you aren't, then is there a need to be joined up? So you're showing as though I don't fit to be there, but I wish to be joined up. Okay. In the Anbiya of the Ulul Azm, the first rank Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, thereafter Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam, then Musa Alayhi Salaam, then Isa Alayhi Salaam, and then Nuh Alayhi Salaam. This is how they rank the Anbiya of the Ulul Azm. So, when you're ranking this Anbiya Alayhi Salaam, when you're ranking Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam, right? Then, just ponder for a moment, look at their wordings when they talk about themselves, right? Although they are the highest, right? They are of the highest. But then, they, all of them making the same dua. Nabi Sam, as he's leaving the world, وَأَلْحِكْنِي بِالرَّفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى. Though he is the head of the Rafiqul A'la, of the Malawul A'la, he is the head. He is the highest after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then when he makes dua personally for himself, وَأَلْحِكْنِي, join me to that. Ibrahim alayhi salam makes the same dua, right? Yusuf alayhi salam, as he is ending his life, فَاتِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Again, same dua. Right. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam is making similar dua. وَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيُّ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Same dua. Right. And then look at the other dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Though he's the highest now, he's in the Malawul A'la. But then look at his other dua. At the completion of the construction of the Baytullah. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Accept this work from me. He didn't say, اِقْبِلْهُ مِنِّي. He says, تَقَبَّلْ. Right? So تَقَبَّلْ on the scale of تَفَعُلْ. Right? I mean, it's coming on the phase scale of تَفَعُلْ. He's showing some تَسَنُّ. Right? تَكَلُّف. Right? So, although what he's saying, although my work is not worthy of acceptance, but Allah Ta'ala, tum apne fazl se qubool kar hi lo. See, taqabbul, taqabbal, on the scale of takalluf. So the one that is going to accept, is going to accept, though it is not worthy of being accepted. See that? So what sacrifice has he made? Sacrificed his son, left his wife and his child, right? Then he's got separated from his whole family, whole community, everybody ostracized him, then he's thrown into the fire. So what he went through, but with all that, he still doesn't consider himself to be worthy of acceptance. He still says, Rabbana, taqabbal minna, Allah, you accept this. Just with your grace, though we are not worthy of acceptance. So Allah Ta'ala likes this. So you see this words, تَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ وَأَلْحِقْنَا بِالصَّالِحِينَ. So there's two words, two du'as that are made here. One is to be in total submission, and one is to be joined up and linked up to the righteous. And this linking up and joining up to the righteous in both the worlds, this world and in the next world. But this comes up with some very important conditions, right? The very important condition in this whole exercise is muhabbat, al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Right? So, you have a deep rooted love for these people, this class of people, you have a deep rooted. And you confess that I can't match up to their level of righteousness, their taqwa, their piety. I do admit, their piety is at a different level, their submission is at a different level, their devotion is at a different level. But Allah Ta'ala, nothing is difficult for you to join me up with them. So this is the essence of the dua. وَالْحِكْنَا بِالصَّالِحِينَ. I do understand, I do accept that I am not of that level, I can't reach up there, but yes, I do have muhabbat for them. So in this muhabbat, we will have to do everything that will enhance the muhabbat. Nothing that will compromise the muhabbat. One person, too much of laughter in him, laughter, light talk, light-hearted. So some people are by nature, they can't sit still, they laugh and they want to make people laugh. So it's within their nature. You can't stop them, you can't break them completely. Right. So he's on his deathbed and he made a bequest. The bequest that he made, Allah Ta'ala, he told his friends that were there, that you, when you finish to my ghusl and put the kafan and everything, then you see, take some white flour and just place it over my beard. Make it white, 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 white. So they shouted at him, by your whole life, so you joked, now you're dying and you're joking. What's wrong with you? Straighten up and listen now. Now it's a serious moment, now in the serious moment also you're joking. So, by, are you my friend or not? If you're my friend, then just you just execute my bequest. Now, as a friend, now they it's all right. But they can't do it in the open now. Perhaps when they went to bury him at night, so secretly they polished the beard with white. Now he's lying in the grave and the whole process starts of interrogation. So they ask him, in the process they ask him, what is this business? You went and dyed your beard white, what happened to you? So he says, you see, I'm not pious. And I'm not old. Had I been old, my beard would have turned white. Right? But yes, I heard the hadith that Allah Ta'ala feels ashamed of a white bearded person. A white bearded person, Allah feels ashamed. The bichara, whole life went out in Islam, white beard now in Islam. So Allah Ta'ala feels ashamed of punishing him. So I wasn't old where I could have a white beard. Right? And I wasn't pious, but I had to imitate them to show my allegiance with them, to show that I like this group of people. I had to imitate somehow, at some level I had to imitate. So for this imitation, Allah Pak paid for him. Just for imitating. See this? So this imitation comes with love. You can't be imitating a person when you don't have a liking. As Mu'tanwi Sahib Rahmatullah says, Rukun la tarkanu ila alladhina zalamu. Don't even incline towards the sinful. Don't even incline towards them. Now there may be two things. When you talk about inclination, there may be two things, right? One is a normal day-to-day human needs, right? Day-to-day human needs. It's normal, right? You eat, etc. But then there are some things that are exclusive. One is day-to-day. You sleep. Don't we sleep? Don't wear clothing? So everybody does that, right? But one is something that is exclusive. Like a clothing that is exclusive. A behavior that is exclusive, right? It is something different, something unique, right? So in these things that are exclusive, then you have the right of being of the exclusive group or being of the rank and file, right? What is the rank and file? Kufara, wearing a certain dress, they interact and socialize in a certain way. And this is a Muslim clothing, they interact in a certain way, they socialize in a certain way. So this is exclusive, this is general, right? So those things that are exclusive with Islam, then at least like the Islamic way. Alright, in all your amal, you can't be completely like a Muslim, right? Maybe you can't get up for tahajjud, there is so much of Quran Sharif, you can't do all these things here. But in your deed, in your ways, show your allegiance with Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallam, the people of Allah Ta'ala and the people of Nabi Sallam, at least your clothing, your attire, your appearance. Ya Allah, teri Nabi ki shabahat leke aya hu. I've come at least resembling your Nabi. I couldn't do much. I couldn't do tahajjud, too many things, I couldn't do all that. But this is the least that I could do. Teri Nabi ki shabahat leke aya hu. I've come at least putting up some type of resemblance with your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person passed away. So, in the grave now they ask him, what have you come with? So he's silent. Tum khamoshi baithe ho. Speak now, say something. So he was asked with a little bit of firmness, why you remain silent? So then he answered, said, no, my understanding is different to the process that I'm going through. My understanding is different through the process that I'm going through. Said, what's your understanding? Said, my understanding is based on the hadith. What hadith? Where did you hear it from? So I heard this hadith from my ustad, and he heard it from Abdul Razak, and Abdul Razak heard it from, perhaps from Urwa, and Urwa heard it from perhaps Ibn Mas'ud, and then he heard it from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And where did Nabi Sallam hear it from? From Jibreel. Where did Jibreel get it? From Allah Ta'ala. And what was the wording? The wording was that Allah Ta'ala feels ashamed of a white-haired Muslim. White hair, white beard. So Allah Ta'ala feels ashamed. So, my understanding is different to what I'm seeing. Yeah, I'm being treated with firmness, a little bit firm, you know. And what I heard was that Allah Ta'ala feels ashamed of a white bearded Muslim. So the answer came from Allah Ta'ala. Well then, Abdul Razak spoke the truth, Urwa spoke the truth, Ibn Mas'ud, Aisha spoke the truth. Nabi Sassam, well, there's no doubt about this truth. And then Jibreel spoke the truth, and I am asdaq, I am the most truthful. Jao, humne aapko bakhsh diya. We have forgiven you. So you see the resemblance. Just the resemblance with the righteous. Liking what they like. So in this tafsir of this word, لَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, Rukun means to incline slightly. See, the pillar here is absolutely straight, right? Absolutely straight. So there's no deviation. Can you see any deviation? No. So that's called istiqamah, absolutely straight. There's no deviation to the right, not to the left, no weakness in standing upright, straight. And rukun is where it deviates slightly to the right, to the left, to the front or to the back, but it's deviated, it's not absolutely straight, that's called rukun, right? So Allah Pak is saying, don't even incline towards the wrong. People of the wrong, don't even bend slightly towards them. And if you do incline slightly towards them, what's going to happen? فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ, it will result in you being burnt. Get burnt just now. Jahannam fire is not like this ordinary fire. This fire is still light, mild. That fire is different. So this rukun only comes after muhabbat, only if you have a liking, then will you incline. If you don't have a liking, will you incline? If I have a liking for a people or for their culture, then I will adopt their styles. But I don't have a liking for them, nor do I have a liking for the culture, will I incline? So the inclination can only come with muhabbat. With some level of muhabbat can there be inclination. But if you detest them, you dislike them, you hate them, then can you incline towards them? So the inclination can only come after muhabbat. So Qazi Bayzawi, in the tafsir of Bayzawi, he gives his explanation. Then inclination in what? Inclination in anything that is associated to them, whether it is their styles, their ways, their clothing, their behavior, anything that relates to them. So you need to be distinct, clear yourself. They are a different entity, you are a different entity. You are going in one direction and they are going in a different direction. So you must resent that. La tarkanu. So if you have that hate, then you will be disinclined. But if you had some degree of like, then you will want to be like what they are, right? You want to behave like how they're behaving. You want to wear like what they're wearing. Or at least you will have the love for these type of things in your heart. Right? One person was invited to a dance, right? Bearded person, but he attended the dance, and then he said, "Hey, you know, I did the wrong thing, right? All right, Allah Akbar, forgive him." So there must have been some type of muhabbat in his heart for this type of culture, dancing, music, or that there must have been some inclination. Therefore he attended. And those people that organized, they must have been some type of muhabbat for this type of behavior, dancing and all that, like how kuffar, how they dance and all that, right? So there must have been some level of inclination towards the kuffar for them to dance. And for this person to be at that concert, that's indicative that he had some love for this. Had he had no liking for it, he wouldn't have attended. Alright, may Allah accept his tawbah and all that. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about this, from this dimension. That why did they organize it? Because they have some liking. Why did he attend? Because he had some type of inclination. An inclination is an indication of muhabbat, right? And the hadith saying, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Straight, see. The reason was absolutely clear, not ambiguous, not like how we would use words, ambiguous words, balance everything, try and make everybody feel happy, you know. He will show you what is right, what is wrong. Then the decision is yours thereafter. Whatever you do, whichever path you take thereafter, it's yours. But he did his work. Ma ala rasooli illa al-balagh. The work of the Nabi was to convey the message. He did his work. After, if you went on the wrong, then it's your problem. It's not his problem. He did his work. He showed you this is right, this is not right. Bukhari Sharif, it's reported. Anas radiallahu anhu, he was in Damascus perhaps, and he saw people dressed up with some type of taylasan. Taylasan is now a clothing that is perhaps more associated to the Jews. Maybe not only a Jewish clothes, but the Jews moreover they wear that type of clothing, taylasan. Right? Some type of a shawl, whatever type of a clothing. But moreover, it's associated with Jews, right? So he came to the masjid and he saw people generally wearing this type of clothes. So he took exception. He says, كَأَنَّهُمْ يَهُودُ خَيْبَرُ. They seem to be like the Yehud of the Khaybar. See the exception, how strongly he took this. You people liked them or liked their ways, therefore you adopted their cloth, therefore you adopted their ways. Had you not liked them or liked their ways, you wouldn't have adopted their clothing. See? Some days back, so I saw one student wearing a kurta, a little bit of a designer kurta. You know, this designer, all this different type of colors, like rainbow colors. Some blue here, some green this side here. Sometimes it's brown in the back, at the bottom. So, this color, the color combination is also very, 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 very strange, unique. Yeah. In the old days, you may have seen a butcherman, you know. Butcherman, he had a brown apron, right? Like a dark apron. So, because he's working with meat all the time, it's going to get covered. So some of those clothing look like a real butcherman clothing. You know, that brown, the bottom is brown, right? The top is a bit white. But if you had seen the old butcherman, how he dresses up, you know, maybe now still you'll see something in India. Exactly. You look at this person, it looks like he came out of the butcher shop. So all these strange type of colors, combination, but it's simple clothing. One color, let it be one color. You've got one color, this idea, and some button coming out here, and some zip coming here, and some zip on the... So some stupid style, someone has adopted, and you want to fit it to the kurta. Unnecessarily. Then you're getting some clothing was for small little children, you know, maybe 1 year, 2 year old child. If he wears a shining cloth, right, shining cloth, say, alright, the child now small, 1 year old child, then dakhija, you know, it's alright, not a problem, right. But now you're seeing a 30, 40, sometimes 70 year old man with a shining kurta. Hey, where this man came out? You're not supposed to wear that. The shining cloth was for the small little child, right? Not for this man that is 60, 70 years of age. Then you got a Pakistani topi, yeah? Right? You got a V here like this, and mirrors everywhere. But in Jesus, ki kya zarurat hai? Like I say, if it was a small little child that was dressed up in this way, it's all right. 1, 2 year old will overlook it. Says, "Ye, unka bachpana hai," and his mother has to show all the love, right? So in the 2 years, it's all right. But now you're 2 years of age. Now, at least dress up as a mature person, adult, dress up like that. Not like this type of clothing. Sometimes this problem starts off when there's too much of self-study. See, like the hadith says, أَوَلِكُلِّكُمْ سَوْبَانِ. Does every one of you possess 2 pieces of cloth? That means, at some time, the level of poverty was so high that they could only afford one dress. One cloth. That's one dress means one cloth. No 2 cloths. Not like a trouser and a kurta. Just one cloth. One cloth means just one chadar. That's all. Absolute. أَوَلِكُلِّكُمْ سَوْبَانِ. Come some hadith, it says, صَلَّى فِي صَوْبٍ وَاحِدٍ. Nabi Sallam performed namaz in one cloth. So that was the halat of the people at the time, that they could only afford just one piece of cloth. Right? So now, someone comes across this hadith, صَلَّى النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي صَوْبٍ وَاحِدٍ. He performed namaz in just one cloth. Right? They said, well, for only one cloth, then I don't have to wear topi. Because if it was just one cloth, right, then that one cloth would have covered the main body parts, right? That means from around the waist or the navel, etc., right, say to the knee somewhere, right? The main body parts would have been covered. Right? So if Nabi Sallam had performed namaz in one cloth, that means performing namaz in one cloth is permissible. Now, he didn't study the whole circumstance. Circumstances, they were in constraints. When they were in constraints, then this was what was affordable, right? And this was affordable, so they were allowed to perform namaz in the state that they could afford. Not that you must perform namaz in just one cloth. And by the way, you also won't perform namaz in one cloth. You will have the kurta and the trousers, but conveniently you'll take the topi out. In fact, you'll have about 4 cloths, at least, man will have 4 cloths. You'll have a shirt, perhaps. Then you'll have a vest, you'll have a trouser and an underwear, right? So, the only thing that he can't afford is a topi. Underwear he'll have to wear. Why? Because the kuffar wear the underwear. Kuffar, they wear underwear, so he must wear it. Right? But the topi he mustn't wear, because why? The kuffar don't wear topis. Now, whereas the topi identifies you, you know, this topi, this style of topi, not any hat, but the type of topi that a Muslim wears, and that's exclusive to Muslims. When it's exclusive to Muslims, then why don't you want to be identified as a Muslim? See, what we say, a mosque hat, masjid hat, or whatever, right? Before, when we were children, in nearly every masjid you'll find a whole stack of topis, and you'll have a whole case of jubbas. So if a person's clothing was a little bit tight, or he was short-sleeved, then he will go to the rack, will pull out on jubba, he wear that. If he didn't, he forgot to bring his topi, then he got a topi, he put on a topi, and then he'll come and perform namaz. See, as the Mawtami Sahib says, that the problem in this, why is it, why are we deteriorating? Why? What's the reason? So now, Allah made him Hakimul Ummat. As though the physician of the Ummat, right? He's the physician, right? So he says, this whole deterioration is because deen or ahl deen ka ihtiram baqi nahi raha. People don't have the respect for deen, and the people of deen, ulama, buzurgan deen, mashayikh, the required level of muhabbat and ikram that they're supposed to have, they don't have it. So when they don't have that required level of muhabbat, respect for deen, nor for the people of deen, then what they say doesn't mean anything to them. So you will take my word seriously if you have the respect of deen or the people of deen. But if you don't have the respect of deen or the people of deen, then will you take it seriously? Well, one of the things people are talking about. So you will not show it that level of respect. When you don't show it that level of respect, then you're going to be drifting away, slowly but surely you're going to be drifting away. So Allah says that this is the beginning point where people's deen have deteriorated. It says, deen or ahl deen ka ihtiram baqi nahi raha. Deen and the people of deen, that respect that you're supposed to show, you're not showing it. You don't have it. So you're not taking them seriously. When you're not taking them seriously, then are you going to follow them? Are you going to emulate them? You're not going to emulate them. You emulate what you like, what you love, what you've got a serious muhabbat for, so you emulate that. One person, Arab Muslim, and he's sitting in his lounge and he's watching some football, right? So, in the midst of the match now, it's coming to the final now. Suddenly he says to his wife, "You know what? I can't feel the sensation in my feet. Just call for the paramedic straight away." You know? So the wife reprimanded him, why are you overreacting? "So now I'm serious. Just call for the paramedic." So they call the paramedic. And as they take him in, they escort him. And as he sits in the car, so he turns towards the house, and he sees his wife, "Take good care of my children and the house, you know." She said, "Babe, what's wrong with you? It's more, you sat too long, so perhaps you don't have the sensation in your feet. You know, you have pins and needles, so because you're sitting for a long period of time, therefore you feel like that." So the wife just brushed it off. Now, they admitted him in hospital, and they confirmed that he's got brain cancer. Right. So now, ab marne ki tayyari, right? He is between life and death. Brain cancer. That cancer has spread throughout his body, you know, right to the brain now. Right? Can't reverse the thing. Chemo will come to the brain. Yeah? You have no brain there. Chemo is you're burning, right? You're burning, you're going to burn your brain, so what will be left? The whole thing, whole your brain will burn off. You can't burn that. So anyway, he's lying on his bed there, and one day, his eyes just opened out. He was like between life and death, or the life support. So one day, he just pulled out the mask and all that, and he called out, you know. So the nurses all rushed towards him. He got excited. Perhaps he's coming up again, you know. So in that he says, the footballer, I can't remember his name. And I know the first name is Alan. I don't know the second name. Famous, quite a famous player, right? Alan Taylor or whatever. So he says, "Alan Taylor, whatever. My God, I worship you. my hero, and these are the last words, and his life just ends like that. See, that football went right into his heart, right into his mind. So, kama tahyawna tamutun, wa kama tamutuna tuhsharun. The way you're going to conduct your life, you will die. And the way you will die, you will be raised. He liked this person, yeah? He liked him, so he bought into him. I love you, my God, my hero. And he said, all this, these are the words, the final words. Like we will say, kalima la ilaha illallah, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, then we end off, right? So we show our allegiance. But his allegiance was with this. He was even seen his wardrobes afterwards, all photos and albums full of same as footballers, their pictures, their clothing, their biographies, whatever, everything related to them. So he liked them, he imitated them, and he died announcing his allegiance with them. See how he lived, he died like that. And you get another person who's dying, but he's dying with a smile. And like I said about Bilal radiallahu anhu, and he says, no, I'm going to meet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam just now. In a few moments, and I'll be with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just give me a few moments, I'll be with him. See, so he lived, and he remained firm on that. When he remained firm on that, so he died like how he lived. And this person died like how he lived. See? So this muhabbat. So at any given time, our allegiance to the right, to deen, to Islam, to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or those people that are the forerunners in our deen. Those people that are the forerunners in the deen, try and at least imitate them. The forerunners, they are giving us guidance, they are giving us some direction. And you can see they've got no other reason, they've got no other things in their heart, no other agenda in their heart. They're giving the lead here. Sometimes you have another agenda in your heart, right? So, like you have this clothing company, right, for example, right? So, the clothing company, they want to sell a certain fabric, certain cloth, right? So what they will do, so they'll look for a famous person now, Hashim Amla, for example, right? So, and they'll ask him to wear that shirt. So now, they got the shirt with a brand name, with a logo and all that, Hashim Amla now. So now they want to sell that cloth, but they will sell it via this person here. See, they will sell it. Say, oh, he's wearing this cloth, I must wear the same cloth. I'm identifying, I'm relating to him. But understand, who you want to relate with? With Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with the Sahaba Kiram, with the righteous, with the pious, or with this riffraff? So riffraff, all this dirt, this scum. Who you want to identify with? Who you want to be raised up with? Who you want to be living with in the hereafter? So you want to identify with them, their clothing, their ways, their behavior, their mannerisms. I don't say you'll get that all overnight, but we work in that direction, we strive in that direction, slowly we'll get right. Our homes will come right, our children will come right, we will come right, but gradually. We talk about these things here, we show an allegiance, we show our liking for it, and when we're showing our liking, inshallah, and we're showing a dislike for this, and maybe we're asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness that we cannot do all. Some things we are mixing up here. So Allah Ta'ala give us that tawfiq and that guidance that we leave out this wrong. This thing is not right. But just that we don't have the heart to throw it out straight away. So Allah Ta'ala give us that tawfiq that become complete. Every day, introducing something of Nabi Sassam, something of the Sahaba Ikram into our lives. Until when we have to meet up with Nabi Sam is honored to see us. He feels proud, he feels honored to see us. Okay, this is my sahaba, this is my person, my ummati that has come in. But if your dress, your clothing, your style, your ways, everything is different. Everything is different. And then you're coming up to Nabi Sam, but your ways are all different, socializing is different, everything is different. So, won't he feel that this person betrayed me? Won't he feel that this is a traitor? That he showed that he is my ummati, But he went in the ways of some different people, not with me. So won't it be an embarrassment for him? Allah Baktofi.